Amen. Good morning, everybody. It's good to see you guys this morning. Sorry to see a couple of broken arms today. Just two broken arms, nobody else, right? Just two people that had a broken arm? Okay, I just wanted to check, make sure it's just you guys. Sorry, Gabe. Sorry to see that, man. If you guys have your Bible this morning, I want to invite you to open to Philippians chapter 3. We have a Bible if you need one, so let us know if you need a Bible, raise your hand. We'll make sure you get one. Also want to just ask that you would put your phone away, again, for our time this morning as we study God's Word. Philippians chapter 3. What do you want for your birthday? What do you want for your birthday? That's a question that you've probably at one time or another been asked before. Your birthday was coming up soon, and a parent, your mom or your dad, or like your cool aunt or your grandparents asked you, what's on your list? What do you want for your birthday? And on the top of your birthday present wish list was that one thing. There's that one thing that you've been looking for all year, that you've been looking forward to. There's one present that you've been thinking about, one present that just seems like it would be so great and would really bring you happiness. Maybe it was some kind of game or some kind of device, like a brand new PS5, a brand new Apple Watch, some shiny new AirPods. Or maybe on your list was like some new clothes that you thought would be cool, or a brand new pair of shoes. Maybe on your list was a ticket to some really cool experience, like an event or a game that you could attend. What do you want for your birthday? But I'm sure you've also experienced before, because everyone has, that feeling of disappointment. Once you've opened your present and a few days or a few weeks or maybe just even a few minutes have passed, all of a sudden, you find that that present that you've been thinking about all year is not really that great anymore. That new game, though it was cool, doesn't really make you happy like you thought it would. The new shoes that looked so cool and honestly were really cool, after only a few weeks and after taking them to winter camp and stepping in some mud, are now just a dirty old pair of shoes. The AirPods were great for a little bit until you lost one and you think that your dog probably ate it. Or that event that you had tickets to, or that theme park, that time came and went and now it's gone and you just want to go again next year. I'm all for cool birthday presents. I'm not against wanting cool things for Christmas or for your birthday or whatever it is. Don't get me wrong. But I think we all know that experience, that feeling of something that seemed like it could bring you happiness. And maybe it does for a little bit, but that happiness doesn't stick around. That present seemed so great, like it would bring you so much joy in your life that you've never had before, but after only a few days, that joy is gone. And life is filled with kinds of things like that. That is the kind of thing that keeps on going even as we get older. Life is filled with those kinds of promises of joy, promises to bring us happiness through things or even through experiences or even good things that can bring us joy. It's also true that those small moments of joy in life, even if they're good, never really seem to stick around, never really seem to bring us the happiness that lasts forever and the happiness that we long for deep down in our hearts. Again, I'm cool. I'm all in for a great birthday present and for finding happiness in some good things in life, like your family and your friends and cool hobbies and in a cool gift or maybe a sport that you love. But what about joy that doesn't just come and go depending on our circumstances? What about joy that doesn't disappoint? What about joy that doesn't end, that, and that's deep down, and that fills our hearts and our souls with peace? The Bible shows us that God wants you to know that kind of real joy. That kind of joy exists, and it's a joy that's better than anything else this world could offer us. And God cares about you and making sure that you find that joy in your heart and in your life. When we read Psalm 16, verse 11 in the Bible, we find that God says that he can make known to us the path of life, and in his presence there is fullness of joy. At his right hand are pleasures that last forever. God wants us to have joy in him. Joy that never goes away, and joy that nothing in this world can compare with. Joy that can even stick with us when times are difficult and when times are good. God cares about you, and he wants you to find fullness of joy that lasts forever and that can only be found in him. How do we know that God wants us to find that kind of joy? Well, there's so many ways that we could think about that, so many ways that that shows up in his word that he's given to us for our life, that God wants our hearts to be filled with joy. And one of those ways, and really the biggest way, is that God has given us the gospel. God's given us a message of good news that brings joy. It's the good news about Jesus that can fill your life with joy that nothing else ever could. And we find that message of the gospel all throughout the Bible, especially in the New Testament when Jesus appears. Even when Jesus was born, there were angels that came and they announced good news, like a gospel of great joy for all people. And we find out here in Philippians 3 a little bit more about what that gospel is all about. We find out here that God wants to make sure we're filled with joy because we know him and because we have a right relationship with him in the gospel. And God gives us words here in this chapter that make clear good news for sinners, the gospel, that we would know and remember and think about. Even if we're familiar with what the gospel is, or if we think we know what the gospel is, God gives us a great reminder here in Philippians chapter 3. He reminds us about how we can have real, true joy in life that's not depending on circumstances, and joy that lasts throughout this life and that lasts in eternity forever with him. Here's a big idea that we can find as we open Philippians chapter 3. God's word invites me to find true joy that comes from believing in the gospel. God's word invites me to find true joy that comes from believing in the gospel. Let's look at Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse 1. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things again is no trouble to me, and it is a safeguard for you. Beware of the dogs. Beware of the evil workers. Beware of the mutilation. For we are the circumcision who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus and put no confidence in the flesh. Although I myself might have confidence even in the flesh, if anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews, as to the law, a Pharisee, as to zeal, a persecutor of the church, as to the righteousness which is found in the law, found blameless. This letter of Philippians, in a lot of ways, is a letter that's filled with joy. Back in chapter 1, as this letter that Paul's written opens, we see that Paul began to tell the Philippians that he was filled with joy. And if you read through this letter, that's a theme that comes up again and again. Paul had his heart that was filled with peace and joy for one great reason, because he knew Jesus Christ. And because these Christians here in Philippi at this church knew Jesus Christ. And in the verses this morning that we look at, Paul wants his listeners to know that they too, if they know Christ, have every reason to have joy in him, to have real joy. And the same goes for us today. If you know Jesus, you have every reason to have deep, lasting joy that will go on forever. And that's not dependent on your circumstances. Joy that's deeper than any other joy this world could offer us. Joy that comes from knowing God himself. And Paul shows us a little bit more about what that looks like in these verses here in chapter 3. So let's just look at two simple lessons this morning. I think we can see two simple lessons for us to learn. Lesson number one is that there is true joy that comes from believing in the gospel. There is true joy, and it comes from believing in the gospel. Look at verse 1 again. It says, Paul writing here says, "Finally, my brothers," and we could say brothers and sisters, "rejoice in the Lord." These are words for the Christians, the brothers and sisters in Christ who are at this church to remember that they have reason to be joyful in their life, reason to rejoice, to have an obedient joy in the way they live. And this is not just talking about here rejoicing, like the kind of happiness that, again, comes and goes depending on how great your day is or how things are going in your life this week. It's not talking about only when circumstances are good. In fact, we know here that these Christians were going through some difficult things in the city of Philippi, and Paul, as he was writing this letter, was himself in a prison, or at least under arrest because he was a Christian, and was not even sure if he was going to be able to live because of the fact that he was a Christian. So Paul's not talking about the kind of happiness that comes because it's your birthday, or the happiness that comes when things are going great. Paul is saying we need to have a different kind of a deep down rejoicing, a deep down reason for joy that stays around even if we're facing difficult things. No matter what happens, there can be real joy in anyone's life. How is that possible? How does that even make sense? Verse 1 says it's that we are to have joy, rejoice in the Lord. That's a good thing for us to make sure that we learn now. Joy comes from knowing the Lord. And joy comes from having a right relationship with him, from being at peace with God and knowing his salvation. Joy can only come ultimately from knowing who the Lord is and from knowing what the Lord has done. That's what Paul was saying here, to rejoice in the Lord, even if things weren't going easily in their life. Knowing who the Lord is and knowing what the Lord has done for you, Philippians. What has the Lord done? If we think about it, we have a whole book, the Bible, to tell us who God is and to tell us what God has done. And all of it has been pointing, as we read through the Bible, to Jesus himself. The Bible tells us that the Lord has done the most amazing thing by giving us the gospel. He's given us the gospel. The gospel is, I wonder if you know, maybe I think some people think they might know what the gospel is, but we could define the gospel by just saying that it's a message of good news. And Paul was saying, remember this Lord who's given you his gospel. Don't forget about this. The gospel is a message of good news for us from God. And we can sum up that good news message, if we were to read it all in just a little bit, to say that God, because he loved this world, sent his son Jesus to die. Jesus came, he lived a perfect life. He died on a cross and he rose again from the grave. And Jesus did this all in order to save sinners. 1 Timothy 1:15 says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. God sent his son Jesus to save us. That means that we needed saving. Because of our sin against God, we deserve God's judgment forever. We face God's judgment forever because of all of our own sin. But God sent Jesus to take our place, to pay the price, and to make a way for us to be forgiven and to be given everlasting life for anyone who turns and believes in Christ. That is good news from God for our lives, for anyone who would listen and believe in it. A good news message from God that has power to bring the deepest joy in your life. And anyone who comes and believes in the gospel will find joy in the Lord. They can rejoice in the Lord. Something every true Christian comes to know as they walk with the Lord is joy because of what he's done for them. And there's so many Christians that could tell you about that joy in their own life. It's why Paul calls it a fruit of the Spirit, something that comes in our life because of what God has done in our life and because God is in our life and God has saved us. God fills our life with joy. One of my favorite examples of this is someone I've even talked about before. It's a woman named Johnny Erickson Tada. Johnny's been in a wheelchair. She's been suffering and not able to walk because of an accident for almost 60 years. She has no reason to rejoice because of her circumstances in life. But people who know her will tell you she is one of the most joyful people they've ever met. How is that possible? To know that kind of joy, even when you're in one of the worst kinds of circumstances. It's because she is joyful in the Lord. She knows the gospel, the good news that God sent his son to save sinners, to save anyone who believes in him, and to give them everlasting life, forgiveness of their sins, and joy knowing him. One of the things that Johnny Erickson Tada will say is that I'd rather be in my wheelchair knowing God than on my feet without him. That's what it looks like to find joy in the Lord, to know God and to find your joy in him, even when things around you aren't going easily, because you know his love for you in the gospel. And this is a good point to stop and even to ask if you know this joy that Paul was encouraging the Christians to have here in this church. If you can say that you can rejoice in the Lord because of his gospel. Do you know the good news message that the Lord has made a way for you to be saved from your sins? God has done that. He has made a way to rescue you from your biggest and most serious problem, to come and forgive you from your sin, and to give you, no matter who you are, a new life, a right relationship with him again. And all of that is in his work alone. Do you know the Lord who came and died on a cross in order to save you from your sins? If you are believing in Christ today, if he is your Savior, you have reason to have joy today. Even if things around you aren't going so great, here Paul tells us we can rejoice in the Lord because we know his gospel. We know who he is and we know what he has done. We also find another reminder, another lesson to pay attention to closely from God's word here. There's true joy that comes from believing in the gospel. But also, number two, it is impossible for me to be right with God apart from the gospel. It is impossible for me to be right with God apart from the gospel. If true joy is found in the gospel, it's impossible to find joy without knowing this gospel. And Paul goes on here to bring up the fact that there were people, there were dangerous teachers that were coming in and were near this church that could steal away their joy. In verse 2, he says, "Beware of the dogs, beware of the evil workers, beware of the mutilation." Who were those dogs? Who were these evil workers? Well, these were people that were teaching against the gospel. They were teaching against Jesus. They were dangerous teachers who had showed up in different parts of where the churches were, including in the book of Galatians. We see these same kinds of false teachers who were teaching that doing certain religious activities is how you could be saved from our sin and how we could have a right relationship with God. These teachers were saying, if I follow these good rules, and if I do these traditions of Judaism and all of these activities in the law, then I can have a right standing with God. Then I'll be good with God. They were saying that my achievements can get me in a good place with God. But here Paul says, no, beware of this kind of teaching. Watch out. This is not what they had learned from Paul, and this is not what Jesus came to offer them in the gospel. This is not where they would be able to find joy. And that's what we see here in verse 3. This joy comes from the gospel. He says, "For we are the true circumcision, who worship in the Spirit of God and boast in Christ Jesus, and put no confidence in the flesh." Paul's saying, here's someone who can have a true relationship with God. It's that they have the Spirit of God in them. They rely totally on Jesus Christ, on the gospel, the good news of Jesus' perfect life and Jesus' death in order for them to be saved. They boast in Christ, not in what they have done. And it says that they put no confidence in the flesh. They don't trust in themselves or in their works or their own goodness or their own efforts in order for them to be saved. And Paul here is a great example of this to show us how impossible it is to find a right relationship with God without the gospel. There's no way to find this joy that God offers outside of the gospel and by trying to earn ourselves a place with God through our own efforts. The Bible has told us that Paul was once a very different man. Before he became a Christian and before Jesus had saved him, which we find in the book of Acts chapter 9, we find out that Paul grew up as a very religious man. And Paul could point to all of the good deeds that he had done, all of the good things that he had achieved following the Old Testament. He would be the perfect example of someone who thought they could earn a good relationship with God through their own works. Paul used to try to find his rest and joy and peace in all that he was and all that he had done. And if we're going to find someone that seemed like they could find joy and earn a relationship with God through their own works, Paul is the best example of someone who could, if anyone could, make it work. But he tells us it didn't work for him. Verse 5 shows us he had the best background someone could have to set themselves up in a good relationship before God. From being 8 days old, he had been raised by people who had followed God's law. He was from the right kind of religious family and the right kind of background. He did good things. He'd also been very hardworking and strict in doing all the things that he thought could earn a right standing with God. Verse 6 shows us that he was trying to rest and rely on his own works in order to keep the law. According to the law, he was found blameless. But Paul is telling these Philippians that this doesn't work. This is not where joy is found. This is not where a right relationship with God that brings joy comes from. It was not through our own efforts. I'm sure you know what a resume is. It's like someday when you go find a job, that thing that you'll have, a piece of paper, a one-page list of everything that you've done for work up to that point. And you bring it to a job interview, and you have this piece of paper that can say everything that you've accomplished in order to deserve this job. Even now, I think you could probably give a resume. Like if you were going to mow someone's lawn, and they said, "Why should I let you mow the lawn here in our backyard?" And you would say, "Well, I've done it a bunch of times. I've grown up mowing the lawn at my house, and so I have a good resume." Or maybe you want to babysit someone's family, and they say, "Why should I let you babysit?" And you say, "Well, I've been babysitting for a long time. I babysat lots of families." You have a resume, something that says everything that you have achieved and why you deserve to have that next job. But sometimes we can start to think about our life spiritually like a resume. Sometimes we can start to think all of the things that we've achieved are what make us good with God. Our resume of good religious things, and that we deserve and earn a right relationship with God through what we've done. That was Paul, and that's lots of people today. In fact, that's so many religions that are not true. People who say, "Because I'm from a good Christian family, then I'll be in a right relationship with God." Or, "Because I've been a pretty good kid and I look okay to other people and I haven't done a ton of bad stuff, then I'll be okay with God." Or this would also look like saying, "Because I'm not as bad as other people, then I'll be okay with God and he'll overlook my sin. Because I'm at church all the time and I play Gaga ball and I take good notes during the sermon, and sometimes I even talk in small group, that makes me good enough to have eternal life with God forever. That's where my joy can come from." God's word tells us here, no. No, your resume can never save you. All of the good things that you've done in your life, even if they are good and they are important, are not how we can have our relationship with God that's been broken by sin fixed, even if those things are good on their own. God is telling us that's wrong thinking we need to watch out for, and it's against the good news, against the gospel. Instead, verse 3, Paul was the example of this. He boasted in Christ Jesus, not in himself, and he found his confidence not in the flesh, but in what Jesus had done for him. Paul trusted in the gospel. He trusted in what Jesus did, in Jesus' perfect life, who lived the perfect life that we have not. And God is showing us here, even in these verses, toward that gospel, reminding you this morning that your good works can't save you. The family you come from can't save you. Even if they are Christians, the good things that you do by attending church or by being a good kid can't save you. What can save you is only the gospel. What can fill your life with true joy because you know the Lord is Jesus Christ, who died in your place on the cross. That's where joy that lasts comes from. And that's where Paul is headed in these next few verses that we'll look at in the coming weeks. Maybe you're a true Christian this morning, but you've started to forget what Jesus has done for you. That's why Paul had to remind these Christians, rejoice in the Lord. Remember the gospel. Remember what it means that Jesus is the one who saved you, not your own works. We trust in Jesus who died and rose for us. We trust in him who gave us forgiveness, and we trust in him who gave us perfect righteousness on our account. We trust in Jesus, and that should make us rejoice because we get to know him, and we get to know that joy that lasts forever in heaven one day, and joy that fills our life even here in this world as we go through difficult things now. Maybe you're here this Sunday and you know that you're without the gospel. You know that you might look like a good church kid. You have family that are Christians. You might know that you've done all of the right things of obeying, but that you're without Christ. That's such a sad place to be, without the joy that Jesus can bring you because of what he did in your place on the cross. If that's you this morning, you need to come to Jesus and believe in him. You need to put your trust in Jesus, put your confidence not in yourself, but in Christ. You need to rejoice in Jesus, to turn to him and to look to him and come to him to save you from your sins. And Jesus promises that he will wash away your sins if you come to him. That's the only place that we can find true joy, the deepest joy. Even when other things that can make us happy, even if they're good, come and go, here's joy that lasts, joy that rescues us from God's judgment and fills our life with peace with God forever. That's what Paul's getting at as he talks to these Christians here, and that's the reminder that we need this morning. We all know the feeling of something that seemed like it could bring us happiness, and maybe it does for a bit, but then that happiness doesn't stick around. Here's God's offer of joy for you that will always stick around. Joy that never goes away. And it's joy that comes from knowing the gospel of Jesus. Let's pray. God, thank you for giving us the gospel. Because of that, we have reason to rejoice in you. Lord, you're not only a judge, a holy, perfect judge of sinners, but you are a perfect savior of sinners. And you call us to come and believe in you, to repent and believe in the gospel. That was your message, Christ. And I just pray that that would be the case for every student here, that they would know the joy that's not dependent on circumstances, but joy that's deep down, joy that lasts because of your gospel. Thank you for the gospel and for your love for us in sending Christ. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen.